Hey, sports fans, welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode 322. This is Mark Hebscher in the near-completed Markham studio. Toronto Mike is at the controls at the mothership in New Toronto, and we are set to go for a lively program. About an hour. Might be a little more. I don't know. We have no time limit on this, but we do have questions, many questions. For example, which team out of these three will produce the most playoff wins this season? All right, so in 2023, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Toronto Blue Jays, or the Toronto Raptors?
Ooh.
Most playoff wins in 2023. Which team?
Hey.
All right, just think about that.
Yeah.
Because the Raptors have been surging, you know, and if we include the play-in thing, I mean, they could win 6-7 playoff games. They could. Blue Jays, hey. If they're not a wild card team, who knows, man? Could win. Leafs, they got Radar O'Reilly. They could win two rounds. That's eight. Could be the Leafs. I don't know. Anyway, we'll take a look at the possibilities, especially since the Raptors have now moved into ninth place in the Eastern Conference. We're number nine. And we have our sights set on number eight. The Maple Leafs have their sights set, of course, on winning the division, which they probably won't do. But can they get home ice and knock off Tampa? You know, Tampa's not that good. They're not as good as they used to be, and the Leafs are better than they used to be, and who knows? First round of the playoffs, you just never know. The Blue Jays, how good are they? Are they good enough to win the American League East this year? The answer, yes. Yes, they are. But you've got to have Alejandro Kirk in training camp. You can't have him playing for Mexico at the World Baseball Classic because nobody cares about the World Baseball Classic because it's going on during spring training. I want Canada to win, but I want the Blue Jays. I'm more interested in the Blue Jays right now. I don't think I could name you the starting lineup for Canada's team or who they're playing. Or I don't think I could name all 20 teams that are playing in the World Baseball Classic in March. March. Why would you do that? I don't know. TFC, Toronto Football Club, kicking off their new season tomorrow. I would say tipping off, but that would be wrong. Because you have to say kicking off a season. You know that. It doesn't matter what the sport is. You always kick off the season, right? Especially true in soccer. By the way, isn't it a bit early for outdoor soccer? Just a little chilly, maybe? Whose idea was it to start the season in February outdoors? Anyway, I don't know. We've got sports media news as the Canadian Screen Award nominees were announced and virtually everybody in the broadcasting business got nominated. I'll tell you about the time me and Jim Taddy were told that Sportsline had won a Gemini Award only to find out it was fake news.
Oh.
Plus, tennis, golf, and the story of my favorite hockey coach of all time, who also happened to be my boss when I was a delivery boy for the Globe and Mail.
Ooh.
That's all ahead. First, here's Toronto Mike at the mothership, powered by Lake Ontario.
That's a big big show, Hebsy man. That's a lot of show we got today.
I'm exhausted already. I haven't got into it.
How's it going? You are no longer in Little Italy. You're far north of there. How did winter hit you this week?
I don't know. Fine. I'm okay, used to it. Did some shoveling. By the way, I have a couple of the neighbors up here where, and I'm not going to say they're not in good shape. They're in okay shape, but you can't go out there without doing some kind of warm up or something and shovel on the same side, right? Like 10 huge things at rapid pace. You can't just.
It's a heart attack waiting to happen. Is that what you're here saying?
I'm telling you. Okay, and you might think you're good. It is. It's putting so much pressure on this. Like, you know, you're just not used to it. So I don't know. I'm the only one I know that does this. But I'll do five this way, and then I'll, you know, switch hands, and I can shovel the other way. You know, you can do it. It's not that hard.
You're ambidextrous.
You need to be, or you're gonna kill yourself. Okay, a neighbor across the street. I'm telling you, I was watching him going, "Hey, man, you slow down." And I'm keeping my eye because I'm thinking I can turn around. I'm going to see him in the snowbank.
Is he carrying one of those boilers? He's got one of those big guts I see sometimes on.
Nope. Actually, in pretty good shape.
Okay.
But again, like you can't attack this thing like you know you're like it's your last meal. You got to take your time. You got to bend your freaking knees. You got to, you know, it's like. When was the last time you did that, Michael? You just decided to 10 or 12. Like, you know, really strong, you know, shovelfuls at full speed.
Yesterday, I think.
Yeah. Chopping wood when you were chopping wood. Is that how you chop wood? Anyway, just got to be careful out there. So I saw a lot of that. So you really have to be careful. And I did a lot of shoveling.
Yeah.
But on both sides.
Good tip. This is a good tip. And it's super icy out there, as opposed to just regular icy. It's super icy. So don't fall. Don't break a hip or something.
I tell you, just trying to chip the ice off of your windshield, you know, has been a chore. And I shouldn't complain because we have full power here and everything like that. I know people that have been out without power for a long time. When that ice, you know, gets on the hydro lines and such, that's deadly. The famous ice storm of 1995?
Well, there's been another more recent than that. Oh,
there was one out because the Hip wrote a song about it. Which was it? Fireworks was the song? No, I'm trying to think of the song. Well, anyway, talking about, you know, the ice storm.
Right.
I forget which song it is now. You got the pressure. Some hip fan will let me know.
You know, it'd be fun one day. Not today. Well, you know, your fans on your YouTube. I just want to let the listenership on the podcast know that you're live on YouTube every Friday at 9:00. And there's a great crew that assembles and they start asking questions off the hopper. One day you should have no script. No plan or whatever.
And
we'll just whatever the Hebsy on Sports fans want you to address, because people want to know so many things. I don't know if it's on your agenda. Like, they want to know what you think of that Full Swing documentary on Netflix. Are you going to talk about that?
You want me to?
Well, I don't know. Are you watching it?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I watched it as soon as it was downloaded. Okay. Yeah, I watched all
of it. Is it good?
All the episodes in a day. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, it's nothing to me. It's nothing. Oh my God. Like, terribly revealing. You know, there's some buddies, you know, here, and there's some there, and one guy throws his clubs and, you know, gets mad and throws his clubs in the locker room. But basically, it's, you know, behind the scenes in a private jet with this millionaire golfer and his kids. And then the next one over here is, there wasn't any one particular thing that was wow. And since they have total access, full access, the producers, it's easy, man. Like, you just follow the guy around. You follow the guy, you'll get some nuggets. But you'll also get some stuff where, you know, like, you're having a conversation with Ian Poulter on the Learjet that he's flying home to England after to his beautiful mansion. And I don't know, just wasn't that great. It was okay. They got lucky that Live Golf decided to do their thing while they were filming the documentary.
Right.
But nothing revealing. And, you know, not unlike the Harold Ballard documentary.
Yeah. I like Hebsy on movies.
The Kardashians is more interesting.
Oh,
okay. It is. What goes on behind the scenes with the Kardashians is more interesting. It's more dramatic.
Wow.
Than a professional golfer who's like, you know, Brooks Koepka, who's like, oh, I don't know why I can't win anymore and stuff like that. Wah.
Yeah.
Wah. You got $70 million in the bank. Wah. Okay. Right. I'm sorry. Okay. You know? And there are some nice stories. Like, Tony Finau is a nice guy. There was a nice profile. But again, it was like a nice puffy. It's a profile about him and how he loves his family and how he wants to be with his family as opposed to being on the golf course. And it's like, you know, and he came from humble beginnings. And it's a nice story.
I'm crossing it off here. I'm just crossing it off my watch list. I don't need to watch this. Mediocre programming. I don't have time.
But you know what, though? It's sort of like, let's take this try. It's sort of like when you first saw Law and Order. Did you go, geez, there's going to be a million spinoffs from this show. It's so good.
No, right? But I did think it was so good. Yes. But
that is right. Yeah. But you had no idea how popular it was going to be worldwide and you know, all the spinoffs. Well, it's sort of the same thing with this Drive to Survive on Netflix, where they said, okay, it worked with auto racing, with F1. Let's try it with every sport. And so now you got behind the scenes with everything. HBO's Hard Knocks goes into the training camps of, you know, the teams. Everybody's got access now. It's like, okay, tennis and golf this year. They decided, let's do it with tennis and golf, right? So the tennis one, they've done 4 episodes. I think they're going to drop 4 more pretty soon. And the golf one, they dropped all 8 episodes. And there you go. Who knows?
Okay, good.
And not expensive program. Trust me if I tell you. Full access. Let those cameras run. Go into editing. Pay some good editors. Add some music. Nice script. Done.
Is it good music? Because sometimes Netflix cheaps out on the music and you get like sound-alike garbage that nobody knows. I like it when they pay for the good songs.
I'll be honest, Mike, I really didn't notice the music in it at all.
Like, if you could, I want to hear Elton John's Rocket Man as like they're driving or something, but okay.
You hear that. You get some of that. But anyway, it didn't have a great effect. It was okay. All right, let's get to the local squads here, huh? Let's start with the team that drew 2 million fans to its championship parade just a few short years ago. That chaos caused by me and you, Mike.
We were there together, Hebsy. Let's tell listeners.
Let's stand over here. Why should we stand over there? Let's stand here. Let's stand really close. Let's everybody come on. Anyway, the Toronto Raptors, who have struggled mightily this year with injuries and uncertainty as to whether or not they should lay down and tank, are definitely all in right now, Mike. They're definitely all in. In their first game since the break, the Raptors, without Fred VanVleet, who was out for personal reasons last night, took on the New Orleans Pelicans at the bank. And guess what? OG Anunoby returned to the lineup for the first time since January 27th. Wow. Now, here's the Raptors season in a nutshell. On the day that OG returns, and you can have a full complement of players, Fred VanVleet's out for personal reasons. When are we going to get these guys on the floor together? Because when we do, I'm telling you, they're going to do something out there. Last night, even with OG looking a little rusty and no Fred, the Raptors led by 15 points entering the fourth quarter, thanks to a tremendous dunk and then a huge block by Chris Boucher in the final seconds of the third. This dunk, Mike, he takes off from the top of the key. He takes the rebound. He runs all the way down the court by himself, up the middle. And from the top of the key, one step, two steps, slam dunk.
Wow.
The place went freaking apeshit. Raps by 15. New Orleans comes back. I forget who it was, tries a shot, and he blocks it. I mean, Boucher blocks it so beautifully. The place goes nuts. It was awesome. So they're up by 15 in the fourth, and they're not playing great. You know, I think when a team's got a 15-point lead, it's only a matter of time before the opposition makes some kind of a run, right? Cut it to 10, cut it to 8. Well, guess what? New Orleans cut it to 7 with about 7 minutes to go. And in the final minute or so, it was, you know, touch and go there. And New Orleans had cut the Raptors' lead to down to 2 points with about a minute or so to go. Two. They're up by 15. Now they're leading by 2. And everyone's going, uh-oh. If they lose this game, if they blow a 15-point lead at home to New Orleans, that's it. Forget about 9th, 10th, 8th. Ugh. They got no chance. Come on. And then Pascal takes two defenders to him, finds open Gary Trent Jr., who hits the key three-pointer in the last half minute or so, and the Raptors survive, winning 115-110. They're now in 9th place, 9th in the East. They have a 29-30 record, okay? And Jakob Poeltl, fabulous again in the paint, scoring 21 points, adding 18 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists, and a block shot. Wow. Pascal Siakam with 26, Trent Jr. and Scotty Barnes with 18 each, as Nick Nurse ran a tight 8-man rotation without Fred VanVleet. Next up for the Raptors, in Detroit, noon tip-off Saturday. Noon tip-off. What the hell? How do you get ready for that? Like, what time are you up in the morning for that one? Okay, what time do you get to the arena? Noon tip-off.
No,
and
I'm,
then
Saturday.
Done, so,
okay,
what's that?
I'm 8:45 practice, so I'll be home and ready to go for that tip-off. For those who want to know if I'll be available for the noon, is that like Christmas Day? What's going on in the NBA that day? Christmas Day.
Well, this is post the All-Star. Right. This is the end of the All-Star break. Like last night were the first set of games since the All-Star break. And now you're going to cram in a bunch of games, like, you know, because you're back, you're rested. So why not play 3 games in 4 nights, right? 4 and 6. Let's go. Let's get the schedule going. There's only like 23 games left in the season. Very exciting. So anyway, listen to this. So they got a noon tip in Detroit Saturday, okay? They'll be out of there by, you know, 3:30, let's say 4 o'clock. I guess like a flight right to Cleveland from Detroit. And they could be busing for all I freaking know. How far is it from Detroit to Cleveland? Like 3 hours? 4 hours? I don't know. Probably not a bus, though. Okay, so they fly to Cleveland, and then they play at 6. They have a 6 o'clock tip in Cleveland on Sunday. Then they come home, then they host the Bulls on Tuesday.
2.5-hour drive.
Is that it?
Yep.
So if you're the Raptors, you say, okay, guys, look, we're in Detroit, okay? We're tip at noon. We're done at 3, out of there. What do we do? We go for dinner in Detroit? We get on the bus, we go to Cleveland, we drive 2.5 hours, take a nice bus to Cleveland, eat on the bus, don't eat. When we get to Cleveland, we go to a restaurant, or check into the hotel. What do we do? You know, I don't know. That's a real dilemma for the Raptors, let me tell you. And then Tuesday, they come home to host the Chicago Bulls. So let's get some wins. Let's win 2 out of those 3 and let's push it. Now, here's the deal with this play-in tournament. We weren't a part of it last year. So if things stay this way, the Raptors will qualify for the play-in tournament at the end of the year. So it's like a tournament, but it's not, because you're playing it in different venues. So what happens is this. In each conference, the team with the 7th highest winning percentage, okay, 7th seed, will host the team with the 8th highest winning percentage in what they call the 7-8 game. Now, the winner of that game, the 7-8 game, will earn the number 7 seed. All you got to do is win that 7-8 game, you win. If you lose that 7-8 game, you're still in. Okay? Because the team with the ninth highest percentage plays the team with the 10th. That's the 9-10 game. Okay? The loser of the 7-8 game will host the winner of the 9-10 game. Right? So even if so in other words, if you finish 7th or 8th, you got two chances. Okay? All you got to do is win one out of two games and you advance to, you know, your little spot there. Right? Have you got this, Mike?
Gotcha.
Are you writing this down?
I'm writing it down.
All right.
Absolutely.
So the loser of the 7-8 game will host the winner of the 9-10 game. And the winner of that earns the number 8 seed. Okay? So at this point, the first round matchups in the playoffs will be set, and then the other seeded teams will have earned their spots. So Boston or Milwaukee or Philly, the other teams in the East. Let's say the Raptors finish 7th. So they host the 7-8 game. If they win, they get the 7 seed. If they lose, they'll play the winner of the 9-10 game to see who earns the 8 seed. So they could have two home games, right? They could host the 7-8 game, lose that game, and then host the winner of the 9-10 game. And if they win that, they move on. They get the number 8 seed. And by the way, last night's Raptors game, the telecast, I don't know, maybe the lighting director took the night off, because when they opened the show, and they showed, you know, and the three of them, Kate Burness, Kia Nurse, and Leo Routens are sitting on a set that overlooks the court, and the lighting was terrible, like these big shadows. And I can tell you for a fact, okay, or you ask anyone in the TV business, okay, poor lighting is a killer. Poor lighting is, if you have great lighting, you could have shitty audio, and things would be okay. But with bad lighting, man, no. And this lighting was awful. Shadows were terrible. It looked like Kate Burness was sitting like behind Kia Nurse, and just really awful. And I'm like, okay, like it's like, what am I watching? Dark Shadows here, the show, or is this the Raptors game? And they didn't fix it. They went back to them. That's their spot at halftime and all that. And I'm like, okay, this is just awful. Like, how can you not have the set well lit? You got three personalities on there. Okay. There's a makeup person, I'm sure, that's, you know, patting them down, or they do their own makeup or whatever it is. But come on, you want to look your best. It's television. And like, oh, fuck, it looks just like awful, terrible lighting.
So I learned so much on Hebsy on Sports. I'm just writing down, poor lighting is an absolute killer. I had no idea. That's actually
good
tip.
So true. Okay. You know who I learned that from? Liz West. Because we used to record all of our podcasts when we did a podcast together. No fun intended.
Yes.
And she was like, there's no way, we're not putting this out there. You know, the lighting's got to be like, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be. And it's true. It just, you know, if you're going to produce something visual, you know, make it look as good as possible. The same way, if it's just going to be a podcast and it's only audio, make the audio terrific.
Should I turn on my TV lights? I literally have TV lights here. I don't ever turn them on for heads.
You should. I'm still in the makeshift studio. I haven't got all my lighting in.
I'm going to turn it on just to see what it looks like.
People are going to watch. I mean, look, if people aren't going to watch and they're only going to listen to you, what do you care? But if they're going to glance over to the screen and go, hey.
When you're talking, I'm going to quickly turn on the house lights and we'll see what we look like. It'll be fun.
Do it. Okay. And you should have, you know, I mean, if... how many foot candles, for example, are you producing from that? I don't know. Let's move on now. Hockey. And the possibilities for the Toronto Maple Leafs are mind-boggling now. Now that they've got Ryan O'Reilly. Mind-boggling. Could this team not win the Stanley Cup right now? Look at the talent on this team. Where do you play Ryan O'Reilly? Is he your third-line center? Do you play him in your top six? Is he the guy to put this team over the top? I mean, look at the talent on this fucking team. Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, O'Reilly. You know, he could add Bunting to that group there. That's an all-star team, for crying out loud. I mean, Sheldon Keefe, I mean, he must be hollishing to send them out there. Guys, go out there and just do your best. We'll win. We will win. Look at the talent we have. But, Mike, the key here is patience. Because you have to make sure that your team is fully prepared to take on Tampa in the first round. And as I've said before, the Bolts are not the same team. They're getting old. I mean, everybody's getting old, but the Leafs aren't getting old. It's like, oh, that Matthews, you know, one more year and he's over the hill. No. But I mean, look in Tampa, you're dealing with guys the same way they are in Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby, okay, Eugene Malkin, Chris Letang. They're an old team. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. You know, Washington, you're old. Ovechkin's 100 years old, right? The Bolts are getting old. Stamkos getting old. Vasilevsky, not the same player that he was. Gave up 6 goals on 23 shots in a home loss to Buffalo last night. The winning goal was shorthanded. The Bolts have looked very average this year. I mean, really, could the Leafs knock them off in the first round? Fuck, we got Ryan O'Reilly. They're going to beat them. This is the year. This is the timing couldn't be better. We got O'Reilly. We're all in. The Bolts are struggling, okay? Can they ramp it up in a playoff series again against Toronto? No. This is the Leafs' year. I'm telling you, O'Reilly puts them over the top. And they ease him in, right? You want to be as healthy as possible when you reach the postseason. You want everybody firing on all cylinders, to coin a phrase. So they ease him in there. Maybe we'll try him here. Maybe we'll try him over there. Do you like playing? Do you like playing with Tavares? Do you like playing with Marner? Who would you like to play with? Is it okay if Nylander plays over there with Matthews maybe and Bunting? Would you like to come here? Would you like to go there? Oh, this is very exciting. So the Leafs host Minnesota tonight at the Scotiabank Arena. Then it's off to the West. Games in Seattle Sunday, Edmonton Wednesday, Calgary Thursday, and Vancouver next Saturday. And the Western Conference is fucking crazy. The Pacific Division alone, Vegas leads with 75 points. Edmonton has 72. LA has 72. Seattle has 70. Calgary hanging in there with 66 points. Calgary's 1 point back of Colorado for the last wild card spot in the West. You go take a look at those Western standings, like, holy shit. Okay? Every game is important. Now you get into those, every game is important. It's a must game. Toronto still doesn't have that and won't have that. There's never going to be a must game. But, and I haven't checked the schedule that closely, next time they play Tampa, you should be able to get a little taste as to whether this team can beat that team in a 7-game series. It's going to be very interesting.
Did I hear you say that Maple Leafs went all in with the acquisition of Ryan O'Reilly? We're all in on this playoff run.
This is it, man. This season, okay? Because O'Reilly's a free agent, and he might go and sign. He might go back and sign with St. Louis, where the family is. He could say to Toronto, I'd love to play for Toronto. I don't know what the cap situation is or whatever, but let's talk about this year now. This is the point. You're not talking about, oh, this team will be great in 2 years. No. You're all in for this year. Okay. You're all in for this year. You're never going to have a more talented team than you've got right now. Right?
100%, Hebsy. It is now, especially if the GM wants to keep his job.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. He's thinking, look, if the Leafs don't get through the first round, I'm gone. And the next general manager, the cupboard is bare. I mean, he's got some draft picks, but really not. I didn't leave him a heck of a lot. Kind of like when Alex Anthopoulos left, right? If you know it's going to be your last year as the GM and you have to win, and you're going to pull out all the stops, right? And the next guy's going to come along going, wait a minute, where's all my draft picks? Well, the previous guy tried, you know, he got rid of them,
right,
hoping that we could make the playoffs. It's a common theme. Spring training for baseball well underway. This year, though, there's a new twist because the World Baseball Classic is being played this spring. The preliminary pools are like all over the place. You're in Korea, Japan, Germany, I think, or Israel, in the United States as well. But it's a whole thing. And catcher Alejandro Kirk is one of the players that won't, and isn't at training camp because he's going to be playing for Mexico. So he's not available now, and he's not available in the foreseeable future either for John Schneider and the Blue Jays. Now, if I'm a Blue Jay fan, which I am, that's a problem to me. Okay? If he's some hump that's on the 40-man roster and we can afford to not have him for 3 weeks, that's one thing. This is Alejandro Kirk. I don't think he's ever caught Chris Bassett before. I don't think he's ever caught Eric Swanson before. I don't even know if he's caught Nate Pearson before. I have to look that one up. They think they played together in Buffalo for a while, but I don't know if he was in person. Anyway, so you want to have, especially if you're going with two catchers, you want to have Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen become as familiar as they possibly can with these new pitchers, while at the same time learning, oh, what's Kikuchi got this year and how's so-and-so throwing this year? Like, come on, right? You got to have these guys. You can't have Alejandro Kirk, you know, with Team Mexico, but, you know, he's going to be with these guys for 2 or 3 weeks, and then he might never see them for a long time. You need him. This is a dilemma.
When should they play this tournament then?
I don't give a shit when they play it, but not during spring training. We need our guys. Like, what if, for example, what if Vladdy was playing on the Dominican team, or Berrios was playing for Puerto Rico? Like, you know, I would say, no, I don't, but I want to play for my country. Yeah, well, guess what? We've got a freaking World Series to win this year. Nobody's walking around going, we're the champions of the world, of the WBC. Who do you know that's going around saying, oh, yeah, that's us. We're the world champions in baseball. Okay. 20 countries, 20 freaking countries. It starts March the 8th. It runs through March 21st. So right through the thick of, although March 20, by March 21st and it's over, the players can come to spring training and there's another, I don't know, week of spring training maybe or so. Yeah, about a week, maybe 8 days, play some exhibition games.
But you can't tell him he can't play, right? Like, you can't go to him and...
No, but at the same point, you could be pissed because it's going to retard the progress of your pitching staff big time. And he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to learn. So what if, you know, what if during the regular season he allows a wild pitch or something happens and he got crossed up, he wasn't familiar with the pitcher? Come on, that's what spring training's for. But anyway...
Okay, who's a reigning world champion?
If I wouldn't have told you, would you have known about the World Baseball Championship?
I did have a vibe it was coming up. But who are the current world champions of baseball?
Dominican Republic.
So, okay, so you do know. Okay.
Yeah, Dominican Republic. So there's 20 teams split into four pools. Remember, they haven't had this since 2019, I guess it is, World Baseball Championship. So you got 20 teams. You know, you got Colombia, you got Israel, you got Germany, you got Italy, you got Chinese Taipei, you got Taiwan, you got Japan. You know, they're all over the place. You got Venezuela, you got the Dominican Republic, Canada. Anyway, Canada is in Pool C with the U.S., Mexico, Colombia, and Great Britain. And then once those games begin, I'm sure it'll be very exciting, you know, and I'll watch. But for now, it's just, it's not on anybody's radar, except those teams that are losing players from training camps and managers going, what the fuck am I going to do if I don't have my, you know, my first string catcher or my 1A catcher for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks?
If Canada's playing for gold, we're all going to be watching. So tune in.
Name me a player on Canada.
Okay. Stumpy. I don't
know. Stumpy. Stubby Clapp, you mean?
That's the man I'm thinking of. Yeah, is he still there? He's probably 50 years old now.
In the meantime, with all the new rules this year, especially the pitch clock, it would be nice to have Kirk in camp, but what are you going to do, right? Especially with the pitch, okay? Not only have you not caught this guy, but come on, 15 seconds between pitches. If there's nobody on base, 20, you've got to get into that rhythm. That's what they're doing now. All BP now. Every BP, live BP. It's like, all right, the clock is going right from the very beginning. No excuses. Can't start the season and go, oh, I didn't know about the rule. So it's going to be a real adjustment. Congratulations to Dan Schulman, Joe Siddle, Chris Cuthbert, Craig Simpson, Tim McAuliffe, and friends. TSN, all the producers at TSN and SportsCenter, all the producers for the Beijing Olympics on CBC, and any others who I might have forgotten who were nominated in the vast sports categories for this year's Canadian Screen Awards, formerly known as the Gemini Awards. Mike, there are literally hundreds of awards given out over 3 days in every category imaginable, and even categories that in your wildest LSD-fueled dreams, you could never come up with some of these categories. And now they put this show in that category and that show in this category. It's unbelievable. Go, if for a laugh, okay, go find the page, the Academy, the Canadian Screen Academy, whatever it's called, and go take a look at all the different categories. It's hysterical. So quite frankly, it would take me less time to name the people who weren't nominated.
Well, just don't keep me in suspense. Were we nominated, Hebsy?
No. No.
But now that I've got the lights on, maybe we'll get a screen award. Like, we needed the lights, better lighting.
I don't see the screen awards now. See, it used to be the Gemini Awards were for television. The Genie Awards were for film.
Right.
Some other awards, the CASB Awards. Right. You know, all these different awards, Hebsy Awards.
I was with CASB Award winners last night. I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah. The CASB Awards was a great thing. So the Juno Awards. So all of this is like, what award? What's that award? So now they're called the Canadian Screen Awards. And what they did was they sort of amalgamated all, you know, digital, film, and television into the Canadian Screen Awards, right? And now they give them out over like 3 days, 4 days. The categories are hysterical. So I have to tell you the story about the award that Sportsline, when I was at Sportsline at Global, almost won.
Okay.
Okay. And so at the time, it was the Gemini Awards. And the Gemini Awards, they had categories for, you know, best newscast, best, you know, local, the best sports show, best sports personality. There weren't a tremendous amount of categories. And so they had to come up with a show, a television show that would highlight, you know, the winners of the, you know, kind of like the Emmy Awards or the Academy Awards or whatever in the States. And so they came up with the Gemini Awards, and they made big TV shows about them. And one year, Jim and I were nominated, or Sportsline was nominated, as the best sports show. Okay. And so what they did was they had a big award show that was televised from the John Bassett Theater. Mm. And then the next night or the night before, they had a dinner where they gave out some of the awards that weren't a part of the television show. And that's the way they do it now too. So the night before, they had something, and I can't remember where exactly it was. And our category had come up. Our category was, the category we were in, Sportsline, was best television show or series, something like that. And in our category, in the same category, there was our show. There were no other sports shows. There was Ken Dryden's The Game, which was like a documentary. And there was, I can't even, and the other one was The Olympics on CBC or something like that. Right. Those were the three finalists. Sportsline, global, CBC Olympic coverage, and CBC's Ken Dryden's The Game. Weird. So Jim knew Deanie Petty quite well from when they worked together at City TV. And Deanie Petty came up to, she was on the voting committee or the nominating committee or whatever. And she came up to Jim before the awards were announced. And she said, "Hey, congratulations." Wow. Right. Wow. And so Jim says to me, he says, "Deanie just told me, congratulations. So like we're winners." Wow. So we're going, "Oh, this is great." So I think a couple of our producers were there. I think Frankie Giannone and Dave Rutherford, but anyway, or Anthony Ciccioni. But anyway, what happened was there's a bunch of us there. And now we get the word from Deanie Petty, who's on the voting committee, that we're winners. And so now we're sitting there and we're all smiles. And now the category, and I forget who was made the announcement. And now for the category, best sports program or series, the nominees are Sportsline, Jim Taddy and Mark Hepscher, producers Frank Giannone, Dave Rutherford, Anthony Schoene, Jim Taddy, blah, blah, blah. The Olympics on CBC, producer, blah, 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 blah. And The Game, Ken Dryden, producer. Blah, 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 blah. And now they go, and the winner is, and they open an envelope. And as they're opening the envelope, I look at Jim, he looks at me, we button up our coats because we go to stand up like it's to tell the truth, right? We're standing, we're like raised from our chairs as they're opening the envelope because we know we're winners. And the winner is The Game, Ken Dryden. And we sink down into our chairs. And I look at Jim, what the fuck? And Jim looks over where Deanie Petty was, and she's like looking the other way, or she had gotten up to leave or something like that. And we just felt like such idiots.
But she was probably congratulating you on being nominated.
No. The nominations had been out for a while.
All right.
That's why we were
That's
there.
That's funny.
We were the finalists. But I mean, come on.
That's great. Oh,
so then, and then now the next night they had the televised one, and Jim and I are part of the show. They want us to do a shtick with, what sports would be like in the future. And so Joe Flaherty, the comedian from SCTV, he introduces us. So we meet him back. Say, "Hey, you guys, I watch you." Well, that's nice. And we met some other luminaries and whatever. And now Joe Flaherty introduces us. You know, he says, "And here's what sports is going to look like in the future. Here's Mark Hepscher and Jim Taddy." And we come out there. We got our tuxedos on and we're cracking jokes and stuff like that. But we had lost the night before. And I remember I wanted to say something like for those of you who've been told you're going to win, don't believe everything you hear. It's like shit like that. And we didn't do it, but we were so embarrassed, humiliated, because we were told, like, you know, you guys are the winners.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah, it's... I'd love to see footage of you guys starting to get out of your seats like this. Oh, boom. Wow.
Right.
That's humiliating.
Who are the defending champions of the World Cup
of
Baseball?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to humiliate you a little more. Your listenership is all over. First of all, the last one was 2017, and the champions were the United States of America.
Oh, 2017. Right. Was I thinking of the Olympics? What the fuck was I thinking of? Anyway, it was U.S.
USA.
That's right. Dominican won it in 2013, I think. They won the previous one.
Was Joey Batts on that team? Better have been.
I think Joey Batts was on that team. I think he was on that team. Yeah.
When is Joey Batts going on the level of excellence? They made room. I don't know if you heard this, but they erased a name. There's room for Joey Batts.
I think just that home run alone, but also the fact that, I mean, he had some great 50 plus home run seasons, led the league. Yeah, he was, I think he should be up there.
Yeah,
definitely.
Let's get him on there. Okay.
Okay. Let's move to some tennis now. Felix Auger-Aliassime will take on Daniil Medvedev in the semis at the Qatar Open. That's going on this morning. Andy Murray is in one of the other semifinal there. But anyway, Felix is the number two seed. Medvedev's the number three seed. I can never figure this one out. I don't know, but Medvedev beat Felix last week. Like a week ago, we were talking, Mike, remember that they were going to play that morning. They hadn't started yet, and right. They were in the quarterfinals. Medvedev beat him, went on to win the championship at Dubai. Felix is 0-5 lifetime against Medvedev. Man, he's a good player, Medvedev. So maybe the sixth time's a charm, and maybe Felix can win and reach a spot in the finals. That would be something. He's playing pretty good. Nobody else, no other Canadian tennis players are playing well at all, including Miss Fernandez, with a name that's so hard to pronounce. Oh, God. My dad's whole thing like that. Remember? Bianca Andreescu? Oh, Bianca. Okay. That was one of the worst. The pronunciation of names.
Even Raonic is hard. Like, and Felix Auger-Aliassime. No. I mean, that one's not hard.
It's easy.
Sure.
Because it flows out. Auger-Aliassime. It just.
I like a name like Carling Bassett. You know, there you go.
Some names don't flow off the tongue. I remember reading very quickly an old tennis player, Raul Ramirez. And if you don't enunciate Raul Ramirez, it's going to come out something else.
Interesting.
It is. Raul Ramirez. It's like Rebecca Marino. Say that fast three times.
Rebecca Marino. Rebecca Marino. Yeah, lots of syllables, and it's tough to come out of the
You must enunciate.
Rebecca Marino.
You can't be dropping your G's like hunting, sleeping. A lot of broadcasts.
I got to say, I feel a little cheated here because I was told this would be the glory days of Canadian tennis, like with these rising stars, and we won a major with Bianca, and we had all these opportunities. I mean, I really did think there'd be more Canadian success stories in big tournaments, you know, and I feel like we haven't even, Layla got to a final, but right. But I feel like we were promised a little more than this. This seems to be disappointing for me.
Who promised you this? And what is this?
Maybe it was Brian Gerstein who promised me.
Are they all these people that you're talking about? Or are they? Is it February and the majors, except for the Aussie, haven't happened yet? It's not season for the majors? Come on.
Felix should make a Grand Slam final in 2023.
Listen, we've mentioned this already, okay? He's got to beat guys like Medvedev, okay? He's got to beat, you got to beat Djokovic to get anywhere. He's the best. Forget it. Nadal's on the way down. Roger's done. Andy Murray's got an artificial hip. And then there's all these other players that are all of pretty similar talent. Tsitsipas and Casper Ruud this week, the next week, and Taylor Fritz next week or this week, and Felix 1 week, and Denis Shapovalov another week, and Medvedev and Rublev. And do I have to keep naming all these? You know, they're in and out, but you've got to beat the best players, and that's Djokovic and now Medvedev. Man, he's tough. So let's see what happens. In golf, a less than stellar field is competing at the Honda Classic in Florida this week. A lot of players are skipping this one in favor of the Arnold Palmer Classic next week. I think Tiger might play in that one too. You see, that's the other thing. It's like, when's Tiger going to play next? Because that Tiger factor, even though he wasn't in contention on the weekend, he made the cut. He's playing. And if you remember in the Masters last year, okay, he made the cut. Everybody was like, holy jeez, are you kidding me? And he won it the year before that. He won!
Right.
So you just never know. Could he win again? Sure. Things have got to go right. He's got to be, the putter's got to be on fire. And the rest of the field has to be, playing.
Hebsy, are you saying that Tiger has another major in him possibly here?
No,
you think?
No.
Okay,
no.
Not a major.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he could win. I'm not a major. I don't think.
What's your take on the tampon gag?
What tampon gag was that?
There's more than one where I guess Tiger slipped a tampon to whoever he outdrove on one of the.
Oh, Justin Thomas. Yeah. Well, they're buddies. And I guess, a private joke between two guys that wasn't intended for public consumption. And with Tiger, I don't know. I could see it happening. Sure. I'm sure I can outdrive you, put a dress on kind of a thing. Happens with me and my friends. You know, I don't go and hand a tampon.
Yeah, but you don't have it televised. Him. You're not televised, you know.
Yeah, but again, you know, I mean, really? He's like, was Tiger ever considered to be the sharpest knife in the drawer? Ever?
Right.
Great golf. Well, what did I say before about Tiger Woods? Unbelievable golfer.
Right.
Less than stellar human being.
Yeah, he's not Mr. Rogers. Like,
no, but the point is, Mike, as people get older and they, quote unquote, learn from their mistakes, they become a little more mellow. They become a little more accessible. Like, for example, Tiger talking with people while a golf tournament's going on. Never back in the day, ever would he ever lose focus, ever, and smile at the crowd or engage with the crowd. Ever. Focus. Tiger. I'm Tiger. Now he's older. Now he's, you know, he's not the greatest player in the world, right? Stuff has happened. So you look at him and go, oh, he's turned into such a nice guy. Still a dum-dum when it comes to, you know, the common sense stuff. Think about some of the things he did. Okay. The elevator doesn't go all the way to the top with this guy. Again, phenomenal golfer, right? A few tomatoes shy of a thick sauce, if you ask me. You got the Honda Classic in Florida. Joseph Bramlett and Billy Horschel shot 5 under 65. So they got the first round lead. Top Canadian Taylor Pendrith is 1 under. Michael Gligic also 1 under. Adam Svensson and Ben Silverman at even par. So the big boys, you know, the Corey Connors's and the Mackenzie Hughes's and the Nick Taylor's not playing this week in South Florida. Will be in the Arnold Palmer. The ladies are playing the Honda Thailand Classic. You wonder where that's being played. Brooke Henderson tied for 36th after 36 holes because it's later today. Today it's Friday night, like late Friday night, isn't it? It might even be Saturday morning right now in Thailand as we speak. So Brooke's 5 under par. She's 7 shots back of the leader, whose name I won't even try to pronounce. Nope, not going to try. I've never heard of this person before, and I don't think anyone listening to this show will be offended if I don't even attempt to pronounce her name. If she wins a tournament, I will attempt to pronounce it. TFC, the Toronto Football Club in MLS, Major League Soccer, will begin their season tomorrow along with several other teams as the MLS season, yes, it kicks off. they'll be in Washington, TFC, to play DC United. So a whole whack of changes for Bob Bradley's club. They gave up way too many goals last year. So to the goalies, see ya. Bono, he's out. Quinton Weisberg, gone. So those two goalies are gone. Huh. Not that it was all their fault that Toronto allowed like 100 goals last year. 65 goals or like a ridiculous number of goals they allowed. They're both gone. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't the center backs problem either. But there's a couple of new center backs this year for TFC. There's a new fullback, and let's see what Lorenzo Insigne can do in a full season this year. No excuses, full season, Insigne, TFC. Let's see if we can get some momentum going with this team.
Well, I remember last season a late push for the playoffs and came up short, obviously, but it was closer than it could have been. Like, there was a pretty good run at the end of last season, so if that carries over.
Yeah, but you got a lot of new players. And I don't think they had a lot of faith in their defense. Like a lot of changes at the back. So let's just see. Let's just wait and see. DC United, a pretty good team. Who is the best team in soccer? That LAFC, there's some good squads, some good players to watch. Although I can't get into early season MLS when, you know, Champions League, you know, the Premier League, that type of thing is going on. I watched a Europa League match yesterday, Barcelona against Man U, that was fantastic. It was unbelievable. Great soccer with, you know, the top players in the world. Wonderful to watch. Lewandowski, and I was watching Marcus Rashford for Man U. Man U's got a good squad. Good squad. There's some good soccer being played. And before we go, a question yesterday on Twitter. I don't even know who it came from. It might have been the Hockey Samurai, who I follow. And the question was, quite simply, who is your favorite coach from your favorite hockey team?
Can I go first, and then we'll pass?
Wait. I thought, okay, my favorite coach from my favorite hockey team. Now, that could be misunderstood. Do I have to put down the name of the coach and the team that was my favorite? Or can I just put down the name of the coach? and let you figure it out. So, Mike, you go ahead. What would your
answer
be? I'll
go first, and
then
I can't wait to hear your answer. But my answer, without a doubt.
Who is your favorite coach from your favorite hockey team?
Pat Burns, the team of 92-93. Leafs.
Why?
Team. I loved that team. They went with one game away from the Stanley Cup, which is the closest they've come in my lifetime. And exciting team with Gilmore and Andrechuk and Wendell Clark was still there. That's a Felix Potvin. That was a fun team for me. And I liked Pat Burns. You know, he'd play with the Good Brothers. You know, he was kind of a cool guy. Like this guy. Nice. What's your answer, Hebsy?
So for example, if you were a Montreal Canadiens fan, you wouldn't say Pat Burns when he coached Montreal. Or if you were a New Jersey Devils fan, you would not say my favorite coach because I'm a Devils fan would be Pat Burns when he coached New Jersey, which is entirely possible.
Right.
You could have been a Boston Bruins fan and said, oh, I liked it when Pat Burns coached Boston. He was my favorite Boston coach. It's not necessarily the coach that won the Stanley Cups for your franchise or whatever.
Right.
So your answer is Pat Burns.
My answer is Pat Burns, 92-93.
All right. So my favorite is Roger Nielsen. Now, I didn't put down that my favorite team was the Leafs. Some people went, oh, it must be the Leafs. But I did have a lot of people go, oh, like Darren Turcotte, for example, the former New York Ranger, his favorite coach was Roger Nielsen because Roger Nielsen coached him with the Rangers. And if you look back at Roger Nielsen's coaching career, he had some good seasons with the Rangers. Didn't do well in the playoffs. But he had some good seasons with the Rangers. So there could be Ranger fans out there going, my favorite coach was Roger Nielsen. There could be Vancouver fans going, my favorite coach was Roger Nielsen. Or Philadelphia fans. Or Florida fans. First coach of the Florida Panthers was Roger Nielsen. Or Peterborough Petes fans. Even though it's not an NHL team, your favorite team is the Peterborough Petes. Your favorite coach was Roger Nielsen. So got a lot of responses from that. So the reason that my favorite coach wasn't Pat Burns, and I liked Pat Burns, got along very well with Pat Burns. Roger was a special guy. If you ever met him before, he was a special guy. This guy was, he was like married to hockey, right? He never had a partner, to my knowledge anyway. He always had dogs. This was a hockey guy through and through. I first met Roger Nielsen when I was 8 years old. Why? Well, you see, I could have had a job delivering the Globe and Mail newspaper in my area where I lived around the Bathurst and Steeles area. I was 8 years old and I had to meet the district manager to get this paper route. And his name was Mr. Nielsen. And he was a local, I guess a local coach. And I don't know which teams he was coaching, but all I know is he coached a bunch of teams. And he ran the paper routes for the Globe and Mail and the Toronto Star, I was told later. And he had like, he was like the big boss and he had people working for him. He had kids delivering newspapers like I did to these apartment buildings where you'd have 80 newspapers for one apartment building, for example. And you'd go, you know, up to the fourth floor and just drop the newspapers outside the apartment doors. Boom, 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 boom. Seven of them on the fourth floor, nine of them on the fifth floor, 13 on the sixth floor, eight on the seventh, you know, that. So I would do that every night. I had 85 newspapers and Mr. Nielsen was the boss, right? So I saw him a few times and then, you know, other stuff happened in my life. I went into grade five or something and I never saw him. I didn't see him again. And then years later, about a dozen years later, I'm working in Kitchener. I'm actually going to school at Conestoga College and I'm working part-time at CKCO-TV and CKKW Radio, which has the Kitchener Rangers games. And I'm doing some part-time work for them. And my job is to go and interview the Peterborough Petes when they come to town and their coach, their rookie coach, I think he was a rookie coach. No, sorry, what am I saying? He'd been there for 10 years. He was about to be a rookie coach of the Leafs. Right, he'd been there for years, Roger Nielsen. And so I go to interview him and he looks at me and I say, Mr. Nielsen? And he looks at me and he goes, like, what are you doing here? Remember, Mike, this is 10 or 12 years later. So I'm an 8-year-old and now I'm, you know, like a 19 or 20-year-old. And he looks at me. And he remembers me. He goes, what are you doing here? Mark Hepscher, right? Yeah. Wow. What are you doing here? Oh, I'm going to Conestoga. Like, good for you. Just gives me a great interview. Introduces me to the defenseman, Jim Turkowitz, who was, it wasn't Turkowitz. Who the hell was it? Oh, I forget now. Anyway, long story short, if that's possible at this point. So now I see him. And now I go off and do my thing. And I'm working in radio in Toronto. I'm working in radio in Montreal. And when I'm in Toronto, the Leafs announced that they're hiring a new coach. Red Kelly's been fired, and they're hiring Roger Nielsen as their coach. And I'm like, Roger Nielsen? Geez, I just saw him a couple years ago coaching Peterborough. The next year, he is hired by the Leaf organization. He coached the Dallas Blackhawks in the Central Hockey League. And then the Leafs fire Red Kelly, and boom, all of a sudden, here's Roger Nielsen, young guy. And here he is. He's the coach of the Leafs. Who the hell is this guy? He coached 1 year of minor hockey, and he coached the Peterborough Pizza Jr. for a bunch of years, won one Memorial Cup like a decade ago. So one of his first days, there's a media conference, and here I am doing radio, and I'm young. I'm new in Toronto radio, and he sees me, and he goes, again, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I could ask you the same thing, right? Because I'd seen him 2 years earlier in the dressing room in Kitchener when he was coaching Peterborough. So, hey, we got along really well. And you know, he was kind of new. I was kind of new. It was exciting. The Leafs had an exciting team. Daryl Sittler, Lanny McDonald, Ian Turnbull, Mike Palmentier. Oh, my God, they were so exciting. And he got them into the third round of the playoffs as a rookie coach. And people were just going apeshit, Mike. You're a little young, but let me tell you, those teams of the mid-late 70s with Roger Nielsen, oh my God.
Is this the team where Lanny scores the Game 7 winner against the Islanders?
One. Yeah. That's the one. Yep. Got them into the semifinals against Montreal. They got swept.
Right.
And the next year, they got swept by Montreal in the quarterfinals, and Roger got fired. So, and you know, I loved him. He was awesome. So fast forward now, many years later, okay, I'm down in Florida, and I'm at a mall near Fort Lauderdale. And who do I see walking towards me in flip-flop sandals and a t-shirt and shorts? It's Roger fucking Nielsen. Couldn't miss him. Curly hair. And again, what are you doing here? I said, I'm down here on a little holiday. And he's the new coach, the coach of the brand new Florida Panthers. 1993, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's the coach. He goes, what are you doing? I go, no. He goes, come on, I'm going to show you training camp. And he invites me down to this three-quarter-sized rink in Broward County off the highway. This is where the Florida Panthers trained their first couple of seasons before the new arena was built. I think they played in the Miami Arena back in those days, kind of shady. And he's like, hey, he shows me all around the place. This is my office. This is the rink. This is this. There's Mike Foligno. There's Brian Scrudland. There's Paul Laws. Here's our team. It's wonderful. There's Scott Mellenby.
Right?
Right. It was wonderful. Takes me out to lunch. We had a great conversation. Didn't see much of him after that. You know, he died a young man, 69 years of age, cancer. He was my favorite coach of all time. Knew him from the time I was 8 years old, Mr. Nielsen. So wow. When the question first came up, I thought about Pat Burns too, and I thought about Punch Imlach too, and whatever, and I thought, no, it's Roger. Because the excitement that he brought the first year that he coached that team, and Ballard, and the second year Ballard fired him and then unfired him, wanted him to wear a bag over his head. They treated him like shit. He mocked him, called him Captain Video. Who the heck watches video? What the hell? Breaking down plays. Like way ahead of his
time. What a visionary.
Way ahead of his time. And Ballard especially thought he was a kook, a nut. But he did hire him. And then very quickly the next year fired him. And that's when people were like the Daryl Sittlers and Lanny McDonalds were like, what the fuck is going on with this team? What the fuck? Because they had Red Kelly for a couple years, and he was a pretty good coach. He did okay also, but Ballard just had no patience, none whatsoever, and he was cheap. Yeah. And as you know, after Nielsen left the Leafs, even though he never won a Stanley Cup, as a head coach, he was on some pretty good teams. Pretty good teams.
Great story.
My story about Roger Nielsen. My favorite coach of all time on my favorite team. But again, I liked him when he coached the Rangers. I liked him when he coached Philly. I liked him when he coached Vancouver. I liked him. I liked Roger Nielsen. He's my favorite. That's it for episode 322 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks, as always, to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike and listen to his outstanding podcast. If you're interested in the show, we're on every Friday on the YouTube channel, and we drop the podcast. I usually have this podcast drop by like 10, quarter after 10. You know, early on the Friday. So if you like the show, let us know. Tell your friends. Like us. Share. You know, all that stuff. Subscribe to the podcast. If you know anybody that's interested in sponsoring, pass them along to me. And if you're a type of person that enjoys reading books, and I know there are still some of you out there, my book, The Greatest Athlete You've Never Heard Of, is for sale at Chapters, Indigo, wherever you get books. Or if you want a personally autographed copy from me, just get in touch. MarkHebscher@gmail.com, and we'll set you up. The world's the greatest athlete you've never heard of, the story of George Orton. It will be a bestseller one day with your help.
It should be a documentary series on CBC Gem. There should be a series on this gentleman.
There should be. And let us know if you think that we should do a pirated baseball broadcast. Do our own baseball broadcast. The hell with everybody else. Because the Jays aren't sending Ben Wagner on the road. And my gosh, we got to have some good baseball alternative baseball broadcast. Let us know. Anyway, thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Back with another exciting episode next week. Until then, so long for now.